Representative Andy Barr of the 6th District is on the line. I'm interested in your take on a number of issues right now, if we can do so in these few minutes we have. First up, the president's nomination of Judge Neil Gorsuch to fill the vacant seat on the U.S. Supreme Court that was announced Tuesday night.
I'm extremely impressed with Judge Gorsuch, who has outstanding, superb, and impressive credentials, both as a lawyer and as a judge. His academic background is stellar. His judicial record is exemplary, and certainly someone who has a demonstrated record of a commitment to originalism, judicial restraint, and upholding the rule of law. He is a judge who, as a future Supreme Court justice, will prioritize faithfully applying the Constitution and not allow political preferences to enter into his decision-making. That's exactly the kind of judge we need on the U.S. Supreme Court.
I have heard folks make comparisons to Justice Scalia.
I think that's a fair comparison, given Judge Gorsuch's public statements and judicial writings. He is a powerful and persuasive writer and communicator, as was Justice Scalia. His record of judicial opinions matches the originalist judicial philosophy of Justice Scalia, and so he is a worthy successor to Justice Scalia.
After a year of vacancy on the Supreme Court, do you anticipate any issues with the confirmation of Judge Gorsuch?
Well, on the one hand, there have been some senators, Democrat senators, who are still frustrated about the Merrick Garland nomination not moving forward. But, of course, that's the prerogative of the Senate. The will of the Senate was upheld in that particular case, and now the will of the Senate will be upheld going forward in the case of the nomination of Judge Gorsuch. And so it is a majority rule scenario, and the democratic process works in terms of elections, and elections do have consequences. And in this case, the American people elected a president who nominated a judge, and the U.S. Senate is now in a position to confirm that judge. And at least 11 Democrat senators voted for the confirmation of Judge Gorsuch in 2006, when he was a nominee for the U.S. Court of Appeals. And in fact, in 2006, Judge Gorsuch was confirmed by voice vote, by unanimous consent. So in that regard, it stands to reason that this particular individual should have a clear path to confirmation. And if not, I think you've heard Leader McConnell signal an intention to move forward with the nomination. And I have every expectation that Judge Gorsuch will be confirmed and that he will be the next Associate Justice on the U.S. Supreme Court.
Let's talk about another major issue of the last number of days, the controversy over the president's executive order regarding travel from 7 predominantly Muslim countries. Your read on that, are you in full agreement with the president's order?
I have read the executive order and, of course, appreciate the fact that American history is one that that has a proud tradition of being a generous country in terms of admitting refugees from places in the world that are war-torn and that are under siege and where there are persecuted populations. That's a proud tradition that we have. It's a tradition I embrace. My office works with Kentucky Refugee Ministries in working with refugees and immigrants and their sponsors. But it makes sense that with any new administration, that a new administration review our vetting process so that refugees can come to this country without compromising national security. And this order is a narrowly tailored order, despite what many have heard it from the media and the hysteria from the left in this country. The president's order restricts entry into the United States from only 7 nations, and these are 7 nations that are compromised by terrorism. We know they're compromised by terrorism. They're jihadist conflict zones. They include the world's leading state sponsor of terrorism, which is Iran, and the order also includes It covers failed states that harbor the most dangerous terrorist army in the world, ISIS, and other Islamic extremist groups that have clearly communicated their intent to infiltrate the refugee flows and attack the West. The FBI and President Obama's Department of Homeland Security communicated very clearly to Congress that there is a threat and that we do not have sufficient information about many of these individuals who are seeking refugee status from these countries. And so it should be no surprise that the president who campaigned on this issue would be fulfilling his campaign commitment and taking a temporary pause, reviewing this program, and assessing whether or not additional security measures should be put into place in connection with our refugee programs to make sure that when we do continue that tradition of generosity and hospitality that America has always been known for, that we do not allow terrorists or Islamic radicals to exploit that generosity and make the American people less safe. The number one responsibility of the president and the Congress is national security and keeping the American people safe. And so to that end, this temporary pause in our refugee programs to evaluate our vetting process to make sure that there are no gaps in security, it makes perfect sense. And our office is going to work with the Kentucky Refugee Ministries to make sure that there are not any unwarranted inconveniences for individuals who clearly do not pose a threat to our national security or who are not the target of this executive order, which is narrowly tailored and directed toward those countries that are jihadist conflict zones and known sources of terrorism.
I know your time is short this afternoon, Representative Andy Barr, but the House last month voted to repeal the Affordable Care Act, a.k.a. Obamacare. Of course, the House has done that numerous times in the past, but this time appears to have much more meaning. Do you have an idea what is likely to replace the Affordable Care Act if it is by legislation eliminated?
Indeed, we fully intend to replace Obamacare with health care reforms that will actually lower the cost of health care without putting bureaucrats in charge of health care. The problem with Obamacare in Kentucky and around the country is that no one that I know, none of my constituents can say that their health care costs have dropped over the last 4 or 5 years. In fact, health care costs have skyrocketed. Both premiums and especially deductibles have gone up for people. People have lost their choices of doctors and their health plans. Millions of Americans have had their health insurance plans canceled. So Obamacare did not make life easier for most Americans. For most Americans, Obamacare made life much harder and more expensive and more difficult. And so we know we need to replace it. We have a plan to replace it. It's frustrating to hear pundits in the media say that Republicans don't have a plan when, in fact, we've been working on this ever since I was first elected to Congress in 2012. If any of your listeners want to know what our plans are, they can go to abetterway.speaker.gov. We have a Better Way healthcare plan. Most of the core policy proposals are contained in there. And we're going to be working on replacing Obamacare in the reconciliation bill in the coming months. And then there'll be a lot of administrative changes to Obamacare that can be made by the new Secretary of HHS, the Health and Human Services Department, Dr. Tom Price, who is my colleague, until recently, and now he's confirmed as the new secretary. And then finally, we're going to have a lot of ideas of our own that we're going to put forward to lower the cost of healthcare. I have a medical malpractice reform bill called the Saving Lives, Saving Costs Act that has bipartisan support that we're going to move to try to end defensive medicine in this country and deal with the physician shortage and stop junk lawsuits and frivolous lawsuits that drive up the cost of healthcare for millions of Americans. These are patient-centered reforms that will actually lower the cost of healthcare and are real market-driven reforms that will be much better for most Americans, much better than Obamacare.
Another question very close to home. The effect of the Trump presidency on Kentucky, especially regarding infrastructure issues, funds for road improvements and so forth. Do you have a sense of how this administration may affect the Commonwealth?
Well, as the American people know, the new president of the United States is a builder and a developer, and he is very committed to rebuilding America's crumbling infrastructure. I'm fully supportive of that, supporting the FAST Act, which was the first surface transportation bill fully paid for, didn't add a dime to the deficit in the last Congress, stabilized our infrastructure programs. But we're going to do a lot more. We need a heroic, paid-for, non-deficit-producing infrastructure plan. The new president of the United States is committed to that, and I expect that's going to be a top priority in the coming months.
Tell me if you have to go, but I'm going to keep asking questions.
I do have to go. I have, unfortunately, I wish I could. They called votes on me, and I've got to run over there. But thank you very much, John. I appreciate the opportunity.
Representative Andy Barr, thank you so much. Take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye.